Checking in with State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy for another Tacky Talk update back on a Thursday, Tacky.
Yeah, back on Thursdays with Tacky on a hot and humid day. It's like 88 plus degrees at 11:08 a.m. So glad to see you haven't melted yet, Joe.
No, I'm staying undercover for sure. And I'm so glad it wasn't like this during the Flag Day parade because we'd all be dead.
Oh yeah, it was a great Flag Day. I mean, one of the more fun events, in my personal opinion, during the year. Great to see the families. The walk is mild in terms of distance in my mind. And you're right, the weather was perfect. A 7 o'clock step off is perfect time as the sun starts to set, although walking into the sun was a little difficult seeing people. I know some folks were saying hi to me at Beach, not Beachwood, no, Central Middle School, but I couldn't see them because the way the sun was facing at that point. And it was always great to see the kids, especially all the civic groups, and the marching bands come through. And for me, it's actually a quick walk home from Pageant Field. I'm just heading back to home in Wollaston, which is about a 15-minute walk. So from my standpoint, it's one of the better parades in terms of getting home. I don't actually have to bring my car. I can actually
That's
do
good because there was no place to park.
what is exactly it. No, great fun head by Hall, and it was great to see people out there, and going with our friends and colleagues and government, heading down. So thankfully it was good because came Monday, we're just we have a heat wave, and continue to remind folks, don't leave your pets in cars, don't leave your kids in cars. It gets inside your car to like 120 degrees, when it's only 80 degrees outside. Hydrate, sunblock. You don't have to overexert outdoors. Please don't. If you're able to, get to like a mall or coffee shop or something to cool off. And obviously, electrical bill is going to go up because power consumption is going up. So I do encourage people to, turn on your fans and air conditioners, stay cool. Maybe try to, turn it on and off, depending on, the situation you're in, to cool up heavily. Then you let it warm up, then cool down again. If you happen to have one of those folks that have an office still, yeah, use your boss's air conditioner.
Hey, listen, either that or hang out in the frozen foods aisle at the supermarket.
I was talking many years ago, I was in Vegas on vacation. This was, God, almost 25 years now. And we were talking to a couple that moved from Colorado to Vegas, and we told them what's one of the most biggest challenges, and the response was getting your ice cream to the car before it melts. So
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's routinely over 100 degrees there.
so you have to actually bring your coolers with you, small coolers. You got to bring frozen products, especially ice cream, into a grocery store because your car is like 150 degrees, and you may not park close, so it could be like 90 to 100 degree hot sun. It's ice cream melts really fast in a dry situation.
That's right. Invest in some dry ice just to
Yeah,
keep ice cream cold.
that's what we have don't ha have to deal with here. And most people, unless you shop in other states, don't realize exactly how much we love our ice cream.
It's true. Yeah, I think New England is, if not number one, right up to the top of ice cream consumption.
Well, it eats like 2/3 to a full roll of frozen aisle in a supermarket here. And you go to the other places, it's not even a half or a quarter. And people from other states shop here first time, don't realize exactly how much different brands of ice cream will eat. And not like I'm encouraging folks to eat a lot of ice cream because, it's a lot of sugar and fat. But, we are a ice cream eating location as well as other frozen products. And
Yeah.
We have ice cream for dogs in
Oh
super.
yeah, that's right. Yes. Well, hey, look, Hood and Friendly's both started here, so there you go.
Oh yeah, hoodies. We all love our little hoodie cups as children. They were like, what, 25 cents a piece or
Yeah,
twenty
you get a
cents.
little wooden spoon with it. And
Yeah, maybe environmentally friendly as a result.
could be. I don't think that was the thought at the time.
My Google, Microsoft, whatever. Thing on the bottom corner just screamed heat advisory again. The
Yeah.
alert just came up.
Too
So,
bad parts of Wollaston Beach, unfortunately, are shut down due to bacteria. The city beaches are all open, so that's good.
yeah, this is a result from the heavy rains. I mean, there's been a lot of flushing to Wollaston Beach. Again, I'd like to remind folks that if you pour, fecal matter from your pets or oil or detergent into a storm drain in Quincy, it goes straight to Wollaston Beach, mostly in the Wollaston, North Quincy side of it. If you're down closer to the point, and parts of Townbrook, I mean, that stuff will go straight to Townbrook and into the Fall River. So, just to remind folks, don't pour stuff down the drains outside, period. Just let natural rainwater and, normal biology, so to speak. And if you can, and you see like leaves, and, trash, obviously please take out the trash and throw it into your bin. But, you've got leaves and whatnot, and you don't want to put that in your own recycling either. Move it to the side so water can move more quickly, down the drains. But, please, please, please don't put any non-natural stuff into our drains, especially chemicals and fecal matter. It does sit in the bay. The bay is shallow. This is a constant issue of Quincy Bay, and it doesn't flush quickly enough out during high tide. So we've had so much rain and so much algae buildup, and also just leaching out of the soil all the materials from our drains and other still waters in the area, that it all goes straight into the bay, which dries out the bacteria counts. What you need to have is you need to have quite an extended period, not like too long, but maybe 10 days of dry weather to let the bay naturally keep flushing out all the toxins, as opposed to keep introducing more when the rains are heavy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So just be mindful that there's, signs and flags. You can ask the lifeguards that are on duty now, as well, and check with the Quincy Health Department too.
And some of the city and other kind of marsh beaches aren't inside the bay. So, for example, Squam Point Park, which is owned by the DCR, they have that really cute little beach that faces the JFK. I mean, that's outside of the Quincy Bay area. That's actually fed out through the Neponset River. If you go into Howes Neck and Germantown, those are facing well outside of Quincy Bay, so the water flushes differently. So the city beaches, and some private beaches, because some beaches are deeded to the homes, won't have as high bacteria counts because they're not inside the Quincy Bay region. At least at Fall River and the Neponset, are rapidly just pushing water into the bay. Here, when the tide goes up, ocean comes in. If you see, it's kind of a one way in, one way out, kind of half moon situation in Quincy. And of course, I live in front of Black's Creek, as you know, so tide's high, and the tide gates are up, because we're not in a flood situation. You can, obviously the estuary fills up, and then, when there's a heavy rainstorm, the tide gates are low to keep the tide from coming in. The estuary fills up again, but the water would take a lot longer to flush on out. So you have these in Montclair area, you have some of these in Adams Shore, Howes Neck, and then you have, I'm trying to remember where the tide gates are in Squanum, but I don't know if there are any. But
Well,
yeah, I don't know. I know there's, I know there's some in Montclair. I definitely know there's Adams Shore, and obviously I live at a tide gate. So that's part of it too, is that water kind of sits longer in the tide gate, waiting for the tide to shift, and then, all that bacteria and other stuff's kind of swirling out there for a while.
right, yeah, and it all depends on when the test is taken, as well.
Yeah, there's always about a 24-hour delay regarding the test, but even though it's about a 24-hour delay, the reality is it's not like the bacteria counts are going to instantly disappear overnight.
Yep, exactly. The clock is ticking, Tacky, at the State House, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, we were discussing a little before. We're counting down the days, 31 days in July. We got 10 days left in June. So today's the 20th, which means there's about 41 days left in the session. And the schedule has definitely been picking up. I predicted last week talking about economic development bill, which did not happen. We're doing midwives today regarding creating a regulatory path for midwives, as well as addressing more postpartum depression. We have a postpartum depression commission that's been looking at this issue and came up with new recommendations as we continue to study the impacts of postpartum. And how little we know about it, actually. And I suspect, every few years there'll be a new study out, and state will have to address it as we go along. So yeah, we've been busy. So we did housing, we did revenge porn, we did opiate abuse update, we did this parentage legal update, rumor on the hill is that we're going to do econ dev next week before the July 4th week. As you all may know, we don't operate on a holiday calendar. Speaker has the freedom to pull us in whenever he wants to. I doubtful we're going to do a holiday. This isn't 30 years ago where people showed up for Christmas Day. No joke, that was a thing at one time. But I am anticipating perhaps at least one Saturday session. It may not happen, but I've already rearranged my schedule from July 15th on to have meetings in Beacon Hill, not off Beacon Hill, and to clear out my Saturdays just in case.
Okay, something to keep mindful of, I'm sure, as the clock ticks down and the budget kicks in, what, July 31st or?
Their fiscal year ends on June 30th, so July 1st is the starting of fiscal year.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going. Budget revenues seem to be better. It's kind of a weird thing because if you cut and you reduce your projections and you come up higher, it's based on the new projection, not the old projection. So you have to be kind of careful when you listen to the news about this. It can get very confusing because they don't always reference which projection we're using. They just say projection. So it kind of leads to this kind of false understanding of which one we're talking about. But overall, I think it's going to stabilize and we have a better handle as we move to an economy that's in a weird state where it's cool but hot. And it's, as you talk, like for a solid year now, it's just very strange.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's both. It literally is both.
Yeah, low unemployment, wage growth is up, but you still can't afford anything because inflation's up, inflation's down, but you're not feeling it because the inflation decline is just fractions of a decimal point fractions of a percentage decimal point. So you don't feel the impact right away. It's always like a delayed impact response. The only exception is really auto fuel. You can see that right in front of you, like right now. And of course, hitting the grocery store is the other one. But obviously, you can drive by and see the price of gas. Unfortunately, a lot of this data, which is real data, by the Federal Reserve actually goes to stores, goes to gas stations, goes to t buy tickets in different parts of the country to get a big spread review, and then creating an average of that to create the CPI and PPI and all the other indexes. So it isn't like just like made up data. They actually go survey the whole country, and the problem is it doesn't serve the whole country. So what you see on a national level doesn't necessarily reflect specifically where you live. And this is kind of that national data for a very big country. We're a big country. People
Right.
forget how big we are geographically and population. We're still the third biggest country by population. So, there's a lot of discrepancy, from the price in Idaho versus the price in Massachusetts versus the price of Kansas versus the price in Florida versus California versus Vermont, right? So the macro numbers look good, but again, it doesn't necessarily reflect where you are because how it's averaged out. But I will say that gasoline prices is remarkably stable given the time of year. As we head into I think school ends this week, people are preparing local travel plans.
Right. Yeah. We're kind of in a bubble here in Massachusetts. I read not too long ago that the state has the highest cost of living in the country. But when you start to average out across the other 49 states, it brings our costs down. So it's not a true reflection of what it actually is.
Well, that's a correct. I mean, we all live in our little bubbles around the country. And even in the state, for example, the cost of doing business, out in the Berkshires, 3 or 4 hours, depending, or five, depending what road we're taking and how far you're driving, very different from greater Boston. And as a result, while we're very Boston-centric, we are in Quincy, we are near Boston, so we tend to be in part of greater Boston-centric. It's a different conversation. You go to Merrimack Valley or Worcester or deep into Berkshires or Springfield or the Southeast or South Coast, or the Cape. I mean, we are a very big and diverse state. And I kind of like to re remind folks of this as often as I can that, we do look at these things as statewide issues. And, we bring our individual points of view from our own districts, right? I mean, I do pay attention to what you guys tell me. And we bring those point of views, which is sometimes not the same point of view of my colleague, 40 miles away, but that's okay. I mean, this is how we try to find a balancing act at our level regarding policy making, because our individual constituent interests are important to us, and we're not always going to get what we want, which disappoints every constituent in the state, by the way, because not every constituent's getting what they want. But I
Right.
mean, every constituent's voice is heard, and we try to address as a little bit as we go along. So I'll give an example is the towns around the Quabbin Reservoir don't receive water from the Quabbin. And that decision was made by those towns when the Quabbin was built.
Oh, okay.
And that was not a decision reason. That was not a state decision. That was a decision by the towns way, way back in the beginning. But also there's huge environmental buffer zones around the Quabbin. You can't develop, you can't dump, you can't do a lot of things within a quarter to a mile of the Quabbin for obvious reasons. But at the same time, though, it wasn't like we closed the door to the idea. And, some folks around here have told me that doesn't sound like a bad thought, but, no one asked the question, how come they weren't in at the beginning? But it's also like a lot of years later. And, it was the idea that we had a discussion about in caucus, and the speaker was not close-minded to the idea and, something to have further conversation about. So, same thing of like expansion of Edenbury services down into South Shore. Speaker's very interested in that. Obviously, Speaker's been working on Enderway issues from day one. And he, is very conscious about the importance of water and how to make things work, because you don't have water, sewer, electricity. And to be honest, folks, some level of natural gas, economic development is very difficult.
Yes, yeah, and parts of the Cape still don't have natural gas service, I know.
Yeah, it's getting a pipeline out there, and it's gonna be tough on them because electric. I mean, if you look at the ISO New England app on the average price of electricity, I'm trying to remember, is the Cape its own region, but it's extremely high. You're end of the line, you're the hardest to get power to because you're end of the line. We've shut down several of the coal burning. We actually shut down all of the coal burning. There is no coal burning on the Cape, and as a result, you don't have a boost from local power.
Right.
Our windmills, solar's a little hard in the Cape, but there's a lot of other environmental issues. Erosion is not a good thing. Solar panels can't create erosion, but I mean, you have some windmills and you got some other stuff, and that helps. But they don't have a generating facility that's sufficient to give them an oomph. In days like this, when it's like, 90 degrees and power consumption is enormous today. So, and then you get natural gas out, you have to build a transmission line. So you have to build another big pipe so people can tap off a big pipe. And good luck building a big pipe. I mean, it's the resistance of every community on the way to the Cape, and perhaps even parts of the Cape, is a practicality. It's very
Right.
difficult to overcome local resistance. So, I mean, you may, be, in the Cape, and you're gonna have to cook a propane if you want to have that, high heat. And propane is expensive, but, in the summer months, electricity could be even be more expensive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whatever happened to that hydroelectric line from Maine? Did that ever get done?
That's still kind of a work in progress, for lack of a better term. I mean, Maine had
Okay.
a ballot question out there, which overwhelmingly rejected having a line put up. I think it's really is a federal jurisdiction. The feds have already kind of been in there. It's like a struggle between the locals and Massachusetts, because we're the beneficiary, although they get the jobs. But again, construction jobs, are not like permanent jobs. They come
Right.
in. But yeah, it's kind of a work in progress, and we're kind of eagerly awaiting for this line to get completed. The transmission line is crucial for us to meet our renewable energy portfolio, and also added a steady amount of clean power coming our way. And Quebec intentionally overgenerates to sell. It's why electrical prices in Quebec are significantly lower than anywhere else in North America, because they overgenerate on purpose, and the savings passed along to the customers.
Interesting. Yeah. It's like Alaska, they get revenue from the oil pipeline. It's as part of the agreement.
Yeah, and they get, they incentivize people to move to Alaska. They get a huge tax credit, which is basically cash back to each Alaskan resident, provided they meet certain residency requirements, to incentivize people to want to move to Alaska to work. Although, as we kind of change how we do our fee structure, and the demand of which, that obviously impacts places like Alaska in particular.
Sure. I know we've talked about this before, Jackie, but now it looks like there will be a ballot question regarding auditing the state legislature.
Yeah, this is no surprise. I mean, the state auditor, made this a campaign, a platform last year, and they're going to push forward with it. I have a hard time seeing the public not voting yes just because why not vote yes, right? However, I still maintain the position of separation of powers. Those that know me know that I did take a degree, I do have a degree in politics from a long time ago, but I'm also an observer of government, and I've seen other provisions trying to get through, not just here, but also on national level regarding, whether it be ballot question or legislative processes to do things, and whether it's a conflict of constitution, and it's states kind of wonky because we're always taught the three branches of government, right? The legislature, the judiciary, and the executive branch. But obviously, we have more than one executive branch here. And executive, because we have Secretary of State, Attorney Generals, Auditor, Treasurer, all independently elected by the public. So they're actually part of the executive branch. And as a result, the governor's powers don't cross over in some ways with other groups. That being said, the legislature legislates to the executive branch, not the other way around.
Right.
And that's part of the Civics 101 that I think everyone's forgetting about. The Constitution in this country gives legislative bodies the ability to legislate to the executive branch for the executive branch to execute legislative initiatives that are passed into law. So while only the governor can sign bills into law or veto bills or pocket veto or allow to stand, without signature, the reality is that, the law is the law, the legislation makes the law.
Yeah, the
So
governor, the executive branch can't create laws. They can propose, I suppose, and suggest, but that's it.
yeah, and the legislative branch and the executive branch cannot interfere with the legislative branch. For example, it is against the Constitution for the governor to have state troopers detain legislators on the way to a vote.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting.
Keyword, on the way to a vote.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah,
You
yeah. Right.
will get arrested for other things. And if you're speeding, they can't detain you, but you will get a ticket eventually,
Oh,
right?
right. Yeah.
Trust me. It's not like there's a free pass to speed. Just trust me. You
After
will get ticketed as a legislator. However, they can't slow
you vote.
after your vote, you're getting that ticket.
Yeah.
It's not that you're not getting a ticket, but the governor can't order the state police or other entities to stop the legislature from showing up to vote. I mean, that is a constitutional provision. It makes sense when you think about it, right? The governor wants to derail the legislature, then you just prohibit legislators from entering the state house, right? That you can't do that. The executive branch cannot interfere with the functions of the legislative branch because we're the ones that tell the legislature, the legislature is who tells the executive branch what to do. The public through us, sets that policy up. So this is actually intriguing because, even if the auditor succeeds, and I expect the question will do so, it creates a mechanism by law, not by constitution, by law, to have the executive branch actually exert its will on the legislative branch, which is contrary to the founding fathers' vision.
Interesting. You think it'll end up in the courts?
Yeah, it went up in court in some form because, obviously the legislature does its own internal financial audits. I mean, just like any business, but it could submit itself, it could voluntarily submit itself to other executive branch entities if they feel the need to do that. For example, let's say, we decide to do an investigation and we need the state police. We could ask them to come in,
Okay.
unless one of us does something, that requires to get arrested. Then why would, we wouldn't do that, right? Or we can hire outside counsel. We've done outside counsel regarding HR and compensation packages. We had outside counsel do that. We've had outside counsel hired to look at, the state ethics laws, and how our rules, may or may not conflict with the state ethics laws, to support and help Senate and House counsel. So it's not like we haven't hired outside private entities to give us a second look that isn't us looking at it. And it also gives an alternative view than the executive branch's point of view, because the executive branch controls the state ethics commission. So we could, and we have in the past, try to make sure our internal functionalities align with, the Executive Ethics Commission. But sometimes we want to go, hey, does our H department, how do you want to build an H our HR department? So we should have, any HR lawyers come in. We can hire separately from the executive branch and say, hey, is this, common practice, and how do we make it fit into our relatively very, very unique function? Because the legislature is very different from the executive branch or any private business, how it's set up. Because, you have a, 200 people elected by the public, and I can't get fired for 2 years, so to speak, unless, the legislature ejects me by vote.
Right.
And the public can get rid of me every 2 years if they so desire, because, other people can challenge you to run for office. You could discipline legislators. Have you seen famously by Ed Markey's, desk in the hallway advertisement when he ran for Congress way back in the 70s?
Sure.
But I mean, it's not like the speaker can remove me without cause, because there is precedent on cause regarding voting someone out of legislature, which we actually did do about a dozen years ago. Yeah, you can go back to the news archives, and it was kind of one of those things that I've never seen before, and I keep saying I've seen a lot, but every so often I'm like, wow, this is new to me. And yeah, so it's different, right? So back to the original question, I mean, there will be a lawsuit, I suspect. I do expect a ballot question to pass, but it become a very interesting question of whether the executive branch can impose its will on the legislative branch, and can does that take away the legislative branch's ability to instruct a member of the executive branch by statute, be it, signing up, governor signing a bill into law, on what to do.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Well, stay tuned. I mean, it's intriguing. But that's, constitutional part of my brain, of how I think. And same thing down to the local level, right? I mean, city councils, board selectmen, school committees, all different forms of a legislative executive branch, even though there's no judiciary branch, at municipal government, have separation of powers too. And can like one impose its will on another that's outside the scope of their bylaws?
Oh, yeah, we just saw that with the Lunar New Year issue here in Quincy.
Correct. I've never seen two legislative independently elected governing bodies with specific powers in the same level of government, and never seen one branch impose its will on another, because they're the same level. The bylaws dictate their functionality, and they're elected. So voters who voted for school committee members to represent them in the school committee have essentially, you can make the argument that they've been disenfranchised for their representative on the school committee by another elected body that you do vote for, but that's you vote for them for their own function in the council.
Right.
So you can make multiple arguments on that front. And as a legislative person, I've been in legislature for a very long time, not just elected but also working there. I do believe in protecting the sanctity of independent elected bodies. I believe, in the Constitution, the state constitution, and separation of powers. And and obviously a lot of case law, establishing, what they can do and not do. I mean, people don't realize that the state constitution actually has protections for municipalities. It is against the constitution for a legislature to impose a law specifically for one community, on its own. It's in the constitution. I don't remember when that went in there. But municipalities have certain types of rights. A community can submit themselves to the legislature through home rule petitions or special laws and acts that they ask us to do for them, which is what we call the home rule petition. It can be anything from, for example, allowing a law enforcement individual, a police officer, to work to past the age of 65 for a few more years, or a fire chief, right? But that's actually very common when they're doing transitions, where they're trying to find a new chief, and they decided to give the chief, another 6 months to a year on the job, past retirement, mandatory retirement age, for the exclusive purpose of transitioning to a new person, right?
Right.
Alcohol petitions all the time. But also not all of them are always approved. Popular one is, as you heard, is transfer tax in Boston. But real estate transaction transfer taxes for municipalities is not uniquely just a Boston issue. That comes up from a lot of towns on the Cape. Sends us home rule petitions on that front. I don't, revenue looks at it. I don't look at that as a committee chair, but not all also approve. A lot of them are rejected. So, it's the state constitution is, very intricate. If you open it up, there's a lot of articles. But there are provisions set up to, give some separation protection of powers from the legislature against the municipalities. But of course, just like the federal constitution, we have a supremacy clause too that gives us ability to, override municipalities. But we can't do it on one. We have to do it statewide.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Yeah, they were crafty, those constitutional writers.
John Adams, Sam Adams, and James Baldwin were very smart people. And even though there's been many amendments to the Constitution over the years, the fundamental core of Constitution at the state level, like the federal level, has not changed. I mean, the case law, obviously, from the Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts does interpret the Constitution, and they've done a lot of different interpretations over the course of a couple hundred years. But I mean, the core sections of the Constitution, remain intact. So again, here's my constitutional lesson to everybody today,
There you
my
go.
10, 12 minutes of state constitutional law.
Did you go to the Juneteenth flag raising yesterday, Jackie?
I did not.
Okay.
I'll be frank about that. Did not make it my way to Boston. I actually did spend yesterday doing a lot of small office work that I haven't done in a while. It became like a whole lot of combination of stuff, emails and stuff I've been not ignoring a little bit at the state level, and documents that staff wanted me to read. Plus, I had to do some campaign-oriented stuff yesterday as well because it was a good day to do it. So yeah, I was doing a lot of like little projects all day, at the work and campaign level. And then, I did some simple things like clean the bathroom. So I mean, there was a chance to do it, and I had time, and I did it. And so, got some quick housework, indoor housework out of the way as well. So, as you guys can tell, I try to squeeze, in between moments where I have time to do things like this. And everyone asks me, how come you just don't hire a cleaner? I'm like, it's kind of good mental health to do things like housework. I know it sounds weird to some folks listening, but, when you have a very busy day and you got a break and just do some really, kind of normal, mundane things. And, why do I need to hire a cleaner to clean my toilets? I can clean a toilet. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. I always think it's good for me mentally to do things like that.
Nothing wrong with honest manual labor, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And, I don't know how I could have lived with a Swiffer. Oh my God, that stuff picks up dust like crazy. I mean, I remember, my mom had me going around with rags trying to dust things. So new technology from my parents maybe do housework.
That's a separate show. We'll delve into Tacky's childhood. So tell me about your childhood.
Yeah, that's a different kind of problem.
Yeah, exactly. Anything coming up in the district we should know about?
I mean, we're heading into July 4th weekend, pretty soon, obviously. There's Swan Parade, Adam Shore, Marymount, Germantown. There's events, there's Family Fun Days coming up. I know in my world, it's Marymount and not Germantown, Marymount and Hell's Neck each have a separate Family Fun Day. Porch Fest is coming up the 29th, all over the city. You're going to hear music in your neighborhood. As you like that stuff, there'll be a schedule online. Kudos to Walter Hubley, who has been keeping this thing going and done an incredible job expanding it. And I know there's a ton of organization, like a ton of organization in this. And it actually creates some interesting challenge for other events because people don't like to have events coincide on top of each other, particularly things like Porch Fest, because the goal is not to draw people or compete against other neighborhood events in Quincy. So I'm sure there's other stuff going on, but I think there's probably some calendar reshuffling going to July 4th weekend for some folks. Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center is doing a youth program in Atlantic Neighborhood. I want to stop by and say hi. I got actually the 75th installation officers at the Chinatown American Legion. Normally, I don't go to a lot of Chinatown stuff. I mean, obviously, I go to a lot of the Quincy-oriented things, but it is the 75th installation, so 75th anniversary is a big number. So, I'm going to stop in and say hello. This past week, obviously, we had Flag Day. I was in Cohasset to present citation to constituent, who was at the South Shore Art Festival. I've been in Cohasset forever. I got lost in town center, even though it's tiny, because I couldn't figure out how to park. So it was a whole lot of me running circles around. Well, Cohasset, trying to figure out where to park. New roads. Anytime I leave Quincy, folks, it's always like, I don't know what I'm doing.
It's foreign land.
It is foreign land. And, I spoke at the Asian American, Asian Business Economic Council, which is part of the Boston Foundation, regarding releasing their report on the survey of Asian American business and the health of Asian American business in the state. And, did some studies and put together some other studies regarding the size and contribution to economy and some of the stuff that, quite frankly, dispels myth about how businesses are run here and the challenges are presented. So, for example, getting access to capital is much, much harder for Asian Americans than all the demographics. There's less support services for Asian American businesses than other demographics. It's only the first of many studies coming along. So we'll see how that goes. So it was a good conversation on Tuesday morning about that. And I also reminded folks, those in leadership positions in the Asian community, those including those us who are elected, needs to remind folks that we're relevant. And if you make money out of this community, you should probably give something back. And try to be a voice in boardrooms, whether it be not-for-profits or for-profits, to talk about something that likely no one else in the room knows about or understands. And yeah, I know it's a balancing act between your employer and you, because obviously you don't want to lose your job, but you shouldn't be afraid to speak up and try to bring greater education. Do you know how many times I talk about different Asian ethnic groups' issues and I get that look on the face from people like, huh? Because they can't relate to it. And even among ourselves, different Asian ethnic groups, their different ethnic groups aren't all the same. So even then, it's a learning curve among our own demographics. So, it's this is a good first step. It's the first time to put this together, and businesses have been here since the days of the tea trade in the colonial era. And there's been some variation in Chinese businesses here since the 1850s to the 1870s, 1890s. And Chinatown is, it's about 1880s-ish. It's hard to pin the date down because there's no good records. But, it's been here a very long time, but people treat the businesses like they've showed up yesterday. And some of them have been here for a very long time. And, my friend, good friend Donna Wong, at the Kowloon, has been there almost 70 years. That location, and they're going to tear down the old Kowloon. So if you haven't seen the Kowloon in Saugus Route 1, definitely visit, because that building's coming down perhaps sometime in the summer. They're going to build a new Kowloon with a mixed-use building. But I mean, that's a demonstration of a three-generation business, Asian business, and Chinese family that made it work from a four-seat restaurant to, a small empire, so to speak.
Much, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, and that wasn't, they did it a lot of their own capital. It wasn't like there was a whole lot of outside capital available.
Going to the Celtics victory parade,
No.
Techie?
Please be safe if you go. It's still gonna be very hot. Don't climb the lamppost. Don't step on top of garbage cans. Be cautious. I know they're going to be out drinking alcohol. I'm not stupid. I mean, the bars will be full, but it's also going to be really hot.
Yes. Yep.
And alcohol dehydrates you really fast. And
Yes.
people tend to get a little stupid, on these type of big parties. So, please be very careful. You bring your kids, keep that in mind too. It's going to be a brutal weather day. I suspect a lot of school kids are not going to be in school to be excused absence if they're not in school, because so I know some school districts are a little bit off because of reasons, which I won't get into, but different reasons. But no, please be careful. I mean, public transit. I know we live on public transit, but it is the safest way to get in and out of the city. And the tunnels will be hot too, because just you get enough people in those tunnels, it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to be hot.
It's true, yeah.
So time you're coming and going, obviously I want you to enjoy the day. So I've been around for enough duck boat parades, from the Red Sox to the Patriots to the last Celtics championship, which was the same year as the Beijing Olympics, I think. It's been a little while.
2008, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while. So I've seen a lot of duck boat parades come through. But also, it's the first one for Mayor Wu, and I think every mayor and every major city of a sports team, wants to be in at least one parade for a championship for local sports team. So, congratulations, Celtics, for quite frankly a dominating year. It's great to see a team that dominates and wins a championship. And of course, we've seen many of those, that didn't quite make it to the end. I mean, sadly, the Bruins didn't this year, but we all remember the so-called perfect, not perfect season of the Patriots, where they just absolutely were just crushing people right through to the Super Bowl. And the perfect, non-perfect year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's great to see a dominant team just, able to maintain that ability all season long, right to the very end.
Certainly good for the economy too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a one day boost on a Friday in the summer. And like I said again at the very beginning, definitely please, definitely enjoy, but please do be careful. It is hot. I don't know when you're going to hear this. This is also part of the problem. So by the time I hear this, you might already be at the parade and done and going like, why is he talking like that? Which back to earlier, do not leave your kids and pets in cars. It is very hot. Also, it's also the year of scamming. Scammers are back up, or skimmers, or whatever you want to call them. I mean, I've already got text messages on my phone and random messages about recruiters, random messages about my Easy Pass, needing to get paid, banking information with banks I don't bank at. Please don't click on links on your phone and go do that stuff. If you're very questioned about whether or not this is legitimate, go to the back of your credit card, go to your bank statement, go online to the bank, log into your accounts. You can check many other ways whether or not your account's been tampered with, and this is a scam. Same thing if email scams are coming up. If you look at the address, return address of the email, it doesn't look anything close like legitimate. It would be missing one or two letters, or just completely gobbledygook. And they're targeting senior citizens. I had a friend of a conversation with a friend with an elderly father, and fell victim to a scam from a group pretending to be Amazon. So, you feel very concerned. Obviously, you could do credit freezes, which prevents you from fraud on new credit cards and other loans that you didn't approve through scammers that steal your identity, believe it or not, through this more than anything else. But you can go to your three credit reporting companies and do that. But more importantly, that doesn't stop people from stealing money from your account. Well, credit freezes are great for preventing a new credit creation. It doesn't stop people from actively just stealing money because you transferred the money out of your account. So you buy gift cards. We talk about the gift card scam, about your loved one's been hit by a car or kidnapped or whatever, and people want gift cards. And you see it every checkout now to confirm that you're not under duress for buying these gift cards. The best we can do is notify you that, maybe give it a second thought, on checkout. But, it is running hot and heavy now. I've gotten maybe seven or eight of them in the last 20 or so days on my phone. But also, keep an eye out because Amber Alerts were up. Heat advisory is up on your phone. They will not ask you for money. They're just telling you there's, legit issues out there. Of course, we had the 911 outage yesterday.
That's right.
The 911 outage yesterday, which.
Yes, everybody's phones blew up and scared the bejeebers out of them.
Yeah, it was hard to understand what was going on. And right now, the official word is that there's a firewall problem. I'm sure there'll be more information coming once tech guys take a look at that. But it reminds you that enhanced 911, which is actually part of your cell phone, because 60% of the population is pretty much cell phone driven and every day it grows, is a important part of communication. So on the good, on the bad front, the 911 system went down. On the good front, you got notified it was down.
Right. Yeah.
And you get weather alerts like major thunderstorms. I mean, your phone goes bonkers. And the worst part is when it happens in movie theater.
It's, you're not the most popular person at that
But the thing is, everybody go phones go off because you just silence your phone, but it does override the silent feature if it's an emergency situation. So
Yes.
it's fascinating where the phone just goes, because I was in a theater once when it happened, the thunderstorms coming through. And so everyone's phones was going off in like, a second of each other, because there was a little bit of a delay depending on your cell service.
Yes,
Like,
set your pets crazy. Well, we should let folks know how to get a hold of you, Tacky.
sure, we are still in the office in room 42 at the State House. Feel free to swing by. I understand this is the time for Boy Scout, Girl Scout, school visits. I mean, obviously, we love to hear from you if you're coming up, and I'll come by and say hello as part of your tour. But also, I mean, I always encourage everyone to come to the State House this summer. It's a beautiful building, and you get to walk in the history of John Adams and others. So room 42, the State House is where I am. And the 617-722-2370, 617-722-2370 is the phone. If it's a busy day, the lines do get clogged, and you end up in the automated system. So wait for me after Jared Pericelli's office. Chairman Pericelli is the first on the list. I am second on the phone list. So be patient. I share the suite with other folks. And of course, tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. I am getting emails. I see your emails. There's going to be more emails. And we do address the constituent issues first. So I do see them all. And the staff and I would discuss, especially some of the more complicated constituent service calls. We need to put our heads together to figure out how we can be helpful. At Tacky Chan on X, State Representative Tacky Chan on Facebook. You can see my coming and goings. There should be some postings on Flag Day and other stuff up. So you can see some of the highlights. I did not take a picture of Joe, but I did see Joe at Flag Day. I should have took it. I should have took a picture of you and asked the staff to post
No,
you.
nobody needs to see me.
It dawned on me now that I should have just done the Zoom camera thing from the parade. MELegislature.gov is the official website of the legislature. You don't have to call me. You can find a bill there. You can find the progress of a bill. You can sign up and get alerts. It's a great website for those who are doing legislative research, or just curious about what's going on. Tachychin.org is an alternative way to reach out to me through the contact form, but we do put up some important phone numbers of local agencies that you may seek assistance from. So we have that out there. And of course, QAT, we have Joe Tuesdays with Tack, was it Tacky Tuesdays or Tuesday Thursdays with Tacky, depending on where we are on the week. And we try to do this weekly the best we can. And Joe in the morning gives you a 10-minute update every day on stuff happening locally.
Plenty of ways to get information.
Plenty of ways of getting information. And of course, if you have any specific questions or have something you want to talk about that we're talking about, definitely email over to Joe at QATV, and I'm sure he'll see if he can figure out how to do quiz Tacky in the middle of the interview, because of course we're unscripted, so stump the Tacky he'll do every so often.
Ah, yes, that'd be fun. The surprise anonymous topic.
I can see you doing that to me. So definitely, like I said, feedback. We love feedback. QATV is great programming, not just myself, but other guests that Joe has, as well as Mark Crosby and all the people that work at QATV. So if you hear this on a podcast or YouTube or watch it on cable, definitely give feedback to the folks at QATV about what you'd like to talk about, us to talk about, or who would you like to see, or whatnot. And that helps with better programming.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're certainly open to that. And speaking of Flag Day, you can watch the parade again and again and again and again on the channel and on the website. It'll be up there all summer long.
Oh, absolutely. So, all right. So we'll talk to you maybe in 5 to 7-ish days.
Sounds good, Jackie. Yeah, one more week in June. It's a long month this year, so we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, next.